Once again, this is Jim Rowe, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be looking at part two of The Fall of Man, the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And it's quite a story, that is for sure. That is the way the Bible starts out, with the sad tale of Adam and Eve falling into sin. And yet, if each and every one of us had been in that garden, we would be in the very same situation. In a way, we are Adam and Eve, and so nothing would have changed, nothing would have been any different had we been there. But first, before we get into the message today, I want to talk about what's going over here in Africa. And we have a big team coming in about a week, and they're going to be here doing work projects in Makunda Village. They're going to be here possibly doing some teaching and some type of conference. Depends on the COVID virus situation. At this point, things are a little bit up in the air regarding a conference, and we are dealing with an upsurge of COVID virus infections, COVID virus cases here in West Kenya. And so we are praying about freedom to meet, freedom together, freedom to teach and to bless each other and bless the villagers. But we are going to for sure to be doing some work projects, have some projects pinpointed. So that's going to be a great blessing. Also in August, we are looking forward to going back to Tanzania to do a crusade in Dar es Salaam, the big city on the coast of Tanzania, city of 6 million people. And so we're going to be doing that in mid-August, about the 17th or 18th on that crusade till the 22nd. It's going to be a 5-day crusade. It's going to be very powerful. And so we're looking forward to that. And so pray about your part in sending a team over there to Dar es Salaam. Pray about your part in helping us do the work projects here in Makunda Village in the upcoming 2 weeks. And so we thank the Lord for all the great things that are happening in this ministry. We thank the Lord for all the good things that are happening and have happened for Gather the Outcasts here in Africa the last 10 years. Well, today, again, we're going to be talking about Adam and Eve, and in Genesis 3:4, this story unfolds. Adam and Eve have been placed in the garden. Adam has been given his job to do in the garden, to cultivate the garden, to take care of it. And then he was alone. He was lonely, and so God created Eve from Adam's rib. And so now here they are in Genesis 3:4, and this is the serpent coming to Eve. And as we talked last week, when the serpent shows up to tempt you, when the serpent shows up to take you away from the plan of God, you know without hesitation, you know without any doubt that the serpent is there to take you away from the plan of God, to lie to you, and to try to get you off of God's plan for your life. And so in Genesis 3:4, the serpent says to the woman, "You will not surely die." Well, that is the direct opposite of what God had told Adam and Eve, because he told them, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. And by that he meant not only physical death, but spiritual death. Because when we sin, when we fall into the plan of the enemy, and we fall away from God's plan for our life, we start to be separated. And at that point, the separation starts, And at that point, then, we are in a place of alienation and enmity towards God. The Bible says that friendship with the world, or friendship with the enemy, or the things of the world, is enmity towards God, or separation, or alienation from God. Well, why is that such a big deal? It's a big deal because when we get on the enemy's plan, his plan, John 10:10 tells us, his plan for your life is to steal, kill, and destroy. And that is his plan. And God's plan, Jesus said, is to bring life to us and bring it abundantly, and not just life in terms of a long life, but abundant life in terms of joy and peace and fulfillment, satisfaction, all of those things that come with a walk with the Lord. That is God's plan for your life, is that you have peace, you have joy, you have fulfillment, you're walking into your destiny, you know what you're doing here, you know why you're here, and so all of these things then come with a walk with the Lord. But when we are in sin and we have given in to the temptation, and the devil comes and he says, God's a liar, and the plan that I have for you, says the devil, is a plan that you need to take, and there's always some happiness, there's always some contentment for a season, there's always some fun for a season with the plan of the enemy, with the plan of the devil for our life. But know this, when you are tempted, when you are in the garden and the devil comes to you and he says, you will not die, go ahead and do whatever it is that I'm tempting you to do. Go ahead and do the sins of the flesh, the sins of the pride of life, and all of this stuff. When you adopt those and when you go into these, you are going to die physically, spiritually, and every way. And so sin is a very destructive thing in our life. It separates us from God. It brings a lot of physical ailments. And when you think about alcohol addiction and the millions and billions of dollars that have been spent trying to rehab people away from alcohol addiction, and the millions and billions of dollars that have been spent trying to rehab people that are addicted to drugs, and many don't get rehab, they die on the street or they die some tragic death. And so there is a price to pay when you accept the lie of the devil, when he says, you will surely not die. Well, even beyond that, there is eternal death. And so the wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So there is hope. There is redemption. If you are trapped in sin today, if you are in some sinful lifestyle, whether it is drug addiction, alcohol addiction, adultery, fornication, whatever sinful lifestyle may be besetting you, understand this, that the God of all creation loves you. He cares for you. He will come alongside you if you seek him and you desire to walk with him. He will come alongside you and help you get out of that place of addiction, that place of destruction. He will help you come alongside him, and you will know the hope and the redemption of walking with the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord, and you will know the life, abundant life, that God has planned for you. Well, in verse 5 then, it says, this is also from the enemy, from the devil, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, prior to that day, mankind, Adam and Eve, did not know anything about evil. They were unashamed. They were naked in the garden. They had no guilt. They had no shame. And that's another thing. When we adopt a lifestyle of sin, or we fall into sin, we become ashamed and we want to hide from God. And you know, the main reason people don't want to go to church is because they have sin in their life, unconfessed sin, that prevents them from going to church. And so they hide from God's people. They hide from church. They hide from prayer. They hide from fellowship with God. And so when you know evil, just as God already knew evil, God knew evil because the devil was in heaven at one time and he fell from heaven. And so when you come to know evil, then you want to be hidden from God. You want to hide and you want to cover your shame. And as we look at the story of Adam and Eve, that's exactly what happened to them. They were unashamed. They were naked in the garden, and as soon as they fell, then they wanted to cover their shame. Okay, so Eve took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She ate of it, and she gave it to her husband, Adam, and he ate. And in verse 7, here comes the woke generation. Here comes the wokeness, we could say, of Adam and Eve. Verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. So the first time in their life, they knew they were naked. They knew they were ashamed. They felt like they had to cover themselves and hide from God. And they knew that they were naked. They sewed the leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord. God was coming to look for them in the garden. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Well, again, I will repeat, when you adopt a lifestyle of sin, or when you give in to the temptation of sin, you want to hide yourself from God. You want to cover yourself. You have no desire to go to church. You have no desire to mingle with God's people. You want to mingle with people, for the most part, that are doing the same sin as you, and you then fellowship with those who are also trapped in the same addictions, trapped in the same lifestyles. And so that is the opposition to God's plan for your life. That is the place of enmity with God. That is the place of destruction. And so God saw what was happening with Adam and Eve, and he came and he walked in the garden and he looked for them. Then the Lord, in verse 9, called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" As if God didn't know, but he was just seeing if Adam would answer to him. And so Adam said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Well, we get afraid of God when we are naked, when we are ashamed, and again, we don't want to mingle, we don't want to fellowship with God's people. And as a result of that, then we have a desire to hide from God. Well, God sees everything. He knew Adam and Eve had fallen. He knew Adam and Eve had given in to temptation. He sees everything. He sees everything in your life. He sees everything in every person's life. Nothing escapes God's eyes. Nothing escapes God. You may think that you're doing something that nobody else knows about, and maybe nobody does know about it on the earth, but God knows, and God sees everything that we do. And so the consequences of sin are that we then get exposed to God. We get exposed just as Adam and Eve were, and so they wanted to hide themselves from God. Well, in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Well, beloved, if you're in sin, if you have sinned, join the human race, join Adam. The Bible says in Romans that through Adam, all people have sinned, but through the new Adam, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, all have the opportunity for redemption. And so all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all in the same boat. There's no person on this planet that is perfect. There is no person that has not cheated. There's no person that has not lied. There's no person that has not stolen something. We have all sinned. And if you think you're a good person, the Bible says that none is good, only God alone is good, and that we come before God just as filthy rags. And you may be a good person. You may have done a lot of good things. You may have been a community booster. You may have taken care of your family and paid your bills, all that good stuff, been a good citizen, voted, and all that stuff. But none have been without sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if you're listening to me today and you think you're a good person, but you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Beloved, you are in a place where you're just a good person that is going to be spending eternity separated from Jesus Christ. You need to bring your goodness, you need to bring your sin back to the Lord. You need to bring your sin to the Lord and confess that He is your Lord and Savior and bow your knee to Him. Set your goodness aside, set your pride aside of thinking that you're some kind of a good person, and maybe you are, praise God, I hope you are, but if you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord, you need to do that today, and not just be a good person going to hell, but you need to be a redeemed, saved person going to heaven and join the saints in heaven who have confessed Jesus as their Lord. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. Well, Adam and Eve knew that they were naked. They wanted to cover up their sin. Psalm 34:15 tells us the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and the ears, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. And so the eyes of the Lord go to and fro across the earth. They see everything that goes on here. They see all the good, bad, and the ugly. They see everything that you do. They see everything that I do. And the Bible says, this is King David speaking, that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and His ears are open to their cry. Psalm 33:18 says, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. And so when you realize that you're a sinner, then the next step is you have to acknowledge the fact, or you recognize the fact, that you need a Savior, that you cannot be reconciled back to God unless you have a Savior. Well, that's where Jesus Christ was a step ahead of us. That's where God had His plan with His Son Jesus, to send His Son here to the earth, to live as a man, to be tempted just like we are, to have all of the temptations and all the struggles, all the trials that we have as man. Beloved, if you're out there struggling today and you feel like you have no one to talk to, you have no one to turn to, if you feel like you're in a corner and you have no place to go, let me encourage you by saying this. Jesus Christ knows every sorrow. He knows every pain that you have had and that you're experiencing this very day. Jesus Christ lived as a man, and He faced temptation as a man. He faced suffering, He faced sorrow, He faced pain, and all of those things. And yet He went to the cross willingly. He was obedient to go to the cross and take our sorrow, take our pain, take our sin upon Himself, and shed His precious blood to be made as an offering for our sin. And then He could stand in the gap for us. He could go to the Father and present His blood and say, this blood has been shed for the sins of whoever on the earth, not only for today, not only for this hour and this moment, but for all eternity going forward, for all eternity going backward. That's how the saints of old were saved. That's how the saints of old were redeemed and taken out of the pit of hell, their place of condemnation or their place of holding. And so when you accept Jesus, the blood offering that He made and that the Holy Spirit took into the heaven of heavenlies, that blood offering covers your sin and my sin for all eternity. Well, back to verse 9, the Lord then starts a conversation with Adam, and He says, where are you, Adam? And Adam says, I heard your voice, and because I was afraid of you, I was naked and hid myself. And the Lord says, verse 11, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Well, of course, he ate from it, and of course, God already knew that, but He's just seeing if Adam will admit it. Well, here comes the blame game, and anytime we're caught in sin and transgressions, we look around for somebody that we can blame. That's human nature. That's part of the fallen nature of man. It's very difficult for man to admit that they have messed up, that they have made a mistake. It's very difficult for a man to say, I'm sorry. It's very difficult for a man to confess their mistakes, confess their sins. And that's why when we have pride, it becomes very difficult for people to come to know the Lord. They just cannot get over their pride and say, I need a Savior. Beloved, if that is you today and you have pride that is causing you to puff yourself up and make you think you're something special and you don't need Jesus, I urge you, get rid of that pride, swallow your pride, get down on your knees, say, Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, I have messed up. Lord, I don't know what to do with my life. I'm in a place of confusion or a place of destruction. And if you get down on your knees, swallow your pride and get rid of it and say, Lord, I need you today. The Lord will be faithful and true to come to you. He will be faithful and true to offer you his blood sacrifice, to offer salvation to you. And all you have to do is reach out and receive it. So Adam says, well, the woman you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord said to the woman, well, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. And so the Lord said to the serpent, this is a prophetic word spoken over the devil, and it is the first prophetic word that is given concerning Jesus Christ in the Bible. And the Lord said to the serpent, verse 14, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And then this is the prophetic of Jesus Christ right here, verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And so that is the prophetic word of Jesus Christ. He is the seed of the woman. And so you see in verse 15, if you have your Bible there, that seed, her seed, is capitalized. And that is speaking of our Messiah, our Savior. He came to save us from our sin. And it says the last verse in verse 15, the last sentence there, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. In other words, Jesus Christ was bruised a bit by the devil. The devil thought he had a victory over Jesus when he had Jesus tied to the whipping post and they nearly killed him with the cat of nine tails. They whipped him and they caused immense torture and pain and suffering for our Master, for our Savior. But Jesus Christ stepped on the devil's head, and Jesus Christ then was victorious over the devil. 3 days after he was put in that tomb, 3 days later he came out of that tomb, and he had been to hell and he had redeemed the saints. He took them with him. He led captivity captive out of the captivity of hell, and he led them to heaven with him, and he redeemed them for all eternity, and he sat down then at the right hand of God. And so Jesus was victorious over the devil. You can have victory over death in your life. You can have victory over sin in your life. You can have victory over the things that have caused you immense pain and destruction. And you can have victory, and you can walk in newness of life. You can walk where there is light, come out of that darkness and come into the light, and you will then know the joy of walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, to the woman, verse 16, or the Lord God said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow in conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And so that was the prophecy spoken over woman. Your pain is in giving birth, in childbirth, and in conception. And then to Adam he said, cursed is the ground for your sake, Adam. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And so that's the prophecies over Adam. He says you're going to be working hard all your life, and the ground is not going to give up its bounty easily to you. And we know that to be true. Work is work. Work is hard. There's sweat and toil and pain and sometimes suffering involved in work, injuries and all of that. And so Adam then was put out of the garden, and Eve was put out of the garden, never to return. And by the sweat of his face, he shall eat bread. By the sweat of your face, you have to get up every morning and go to work, and you have to toil to get the bounty that the earth can give. Well, I hope you have enjoyed this message. We're going to continue next week talking about the fall of man and where we are now. And so stay tuned next week for the last part of this series. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We invite you to partner with this ministry for the great projects we have going in Africa, and also for this radio broadcast to continue these messages coming to you. We thank the Lord for the many years, and we pray that you will join us as we look forward to many years in the future to bring these broadcasts to you. Stay tuned for contact information. We'd love to hear from you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.